Welcome back to Behind the Future, and we have a special bonus episode, which is Future Unplugged, where we're turning the tables. Instead of having our students helping us interview, I'm going to be asking our students some questions. And today we are with Alice. Thank you so much for joining us, Alice.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Alice.
So I'm 21. I'm a second year business psychology student at Uni of Kent. And yeah, that's basically, I have a dog and I have a sister.
I know, we were hearing all about Ziggy earlier. Yeah. Oh, he is gorgeous. Yeah, I absolutely love your dog.
Thank you.
Such a dog person as well. So Alice, it's exam results week for so many students that are going to be waking up and worrying and thinking, oh, I'm going to go and find out, or I'm going to get the email. So your results have come in on email every time you've had exam results. Is that correct?
Yeah, every single time. I had my GCSEs in COVID. So that was interesting, kind of like blind results on email. And then my A-levels and my uni ones as well. I just got them on email.
And how do you open that email? I'd be like, it's there. I don't want to open it.
No, the suspense is a lot. But I feel like it's one of those things you've kind of just got to see it and then deal with it from there. So like, I just kind of wanted to see. And then, yeah, just plan what to do next, how do I feel? And then obviously, like we've said, you can't change them. So it's good to kind of just know.
Yeah, definitely. Were you on your own when you opened it?
Yeah, I was. But then, so for my GCSEs, I remember I was like desperate for a 7 in maths. That was the thing I was like really, really wanted. So as soon as I saw I got that, I was like ran downstairs like, Mom, I got 7 in maths. But yeah, I opened them on my own and then I just went down and told my parents and just, yeah, talked about it with them, which was nice.
And so what would you, for students thinking about their kind of their ritual around how they're going to open their results and how they're going to feel and what they're going to do, what would your advice be?
I think just do it in your own time. Like the email's not going to go anywhere. Just open it when you want to. And then I think for me, the suspense is the not knowing. So then once you've opened them and you know, like I said, you can then deal with it from there. So, you know, if you need a bit of comfort, you can go and get it. If you're really happy, you can go and celebrate. You can just kind of deal with it how you want to.
Definitely. And did you, obviously COVID, you wouldn't have been able to, but did you meet up with your friends that day and have like a celebration or?
Yeah, no, I can't actually remember for my GCSEs because it was COVID, but I think like by the summer holidays, it was the rule of 6. So we could still do some things, which was nice. For my A-levels, I had a really great summer. Like I went on holiday with my friends and stuff. So that was really nice just to let your hair down. Amazing. After all of it. So yeah.
I love it. And with your A-levels, you obviously were going on to university, which you've just finished your second year at university. How did that all work? You see the exam results. You obviously, were there certain grades you knew you had to get to be able to get the uni choice that you wanted? Like, tell us a bit about that.
So for me, I didn't really do like the traditional route. So a lot of people have a uni and grades in mind. So then when they open them, they know exactly what they want to see. Whereas for me, I wasn't even sure if I wanted to go to uni or not. So I did have a firm choice, which I met on results day. So I was really happy with that. But then I later on decided, actually, even though I had an offer from there, I was like, I don't want to go there anymore. I kind of backtracked a bit. So I went through clearing, which is something that I don't think the schools talk about enough. It's actually open for 2 weeks after results day and like I think 10 days before as well, so you can browse, see what's on there. Basically, you literally just call up the uni and the courses on there, tell them the grades that you got, and then they'll either say yes or no to you, basically. So I did that. Called up Uni of Kent, found my course, and they were like, yeah, we'll have you. And then I then decided I wanted to take a year out before I went. So I then called them back and I was like, can I defer it for a year? And they were like, yeah. So it actually worked out really well.
Amazing, amazing. And what did you do with your year out?
So I worked for 6 months, all kinds of jobs, like you name it, I've probably done it. Like I've just worked so many different jobs, just earning money, saving. And then I went traveling for like 3.5 months with my friends, which was really great.
Wow. Where did you go?
Australia, Thailand and Bali.
Oh.
I know. Yeah.
I can feel the sun on my skin just thinking about it. What? And did that, because I feel like people sometimes think, oh, how lovely you get to go traveling. But also I feel like you learn stuff from traveling because you're suddenly like without your parents, you're with your friends, you're in a strange country that maybe you've never been to before. Tell us a bit about that.
No, absolutely. Like I was like really out of my comfort zone. I'd never even flown on my own before. So I flew to Australia on my own 17 and a half hours. Like I was so scared, just had my little backpack. But it was great. Like you just, it's kind of just like a really long holiday. Like you see things that you have never seen before, try different things out. Like definitely went when I went to Thailand, I'd not been around a culture like that ever in my life. So it was really good to just experience it. And I did it with my friends as well. So I did have that home comfort with me. But yeah, it was absolutely amazing. I'd recommend to anybody, even if they're nervous, because I was really nervous, but I had the best time and I'd do it all again.
Oh, I love it. And I bet that really set you up then to go into uni. Because also you'd done a bit of work in. So what different types of jobs? Like what was the best one and what was the worst one out of the jobs?
That's really hard. So I have like a coffee shop job that I still go back to now occasionally, which I love. It's really relaxed. It's like a small business. They like have a bakery where they have like donuts and stuff, and it's like a coffee job. That's so relaxed. I love that. And like where I live is very local, so I just get to chat with everyone, which is really nice. Probably one of the worst jobs I did like agency work for like Graham Water.
Okay.
That was really rogue. Really good pay though, but really rogue. Like I was just kind of like a maintenance woman in like a hi-vis for a week, which was fun.
Wow.
But yeah, I probably wouldn't do that again.
No.
But still glad that I did it. And I met some people like my age doing it as well. So that was really cool.
It's just good experience though, isn't it? Because you just suddenly, you're like, I hadn't even considered someone does this job. And now I'm doing this job and learning about it. So
yeah, no, it was good. I'm glad that I still did it, even though it was quite out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. But the coffee shop job, like for me working as a waitress or working in that kind of setting is just one of the best groundings for any kind of future job, because you're just there, it's customer service, you're meeting people, you're learning that confidence to chat to anyone. What's been the best thing about that for you?
To be honest, I just love the people element of it. Like you said, like I just love the customer service, talking to everyone. Like I build a relationship with people. So like there'd be some people that come in every Saturday, I already know their coffee order because I see them every week. Like I love that just kind of interpersonal relationship. I don't know, like I've made like good friends with the owners. Like I still go back now in my uni holidays and stuff. So yeah, it's just like, it's also very versatile. Like the donuts are so aesthetic, like how they ice them and stuff. So like I've done quite a lot of content creation, obviously I want to go into marketing, so like even when I'm there I can like take pictures, make content, like I just, yeah, I love it, it's really good.
I love that, but that also shows that kind of entrepreneurial flair that you've got, because some people would just go, well, I'm here just to be the waitress, so I'll just be the waitress, but actually you've somehow said to them, well, hold on, I'm interested in this, can I help you, can I do this? So has that content gone onto their social media profiles and you've been helping with them with that as well?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're very modern, the company, so like they're very into like aesthetics. All of the shops are like mint green and white, like I said, the donuts are like gorgeous. So yeah, it's so easy to make really good content for them, and like they're quite big on social media, so yeah, they get everyone involved, to be honest. So yeah,
I love that. That just shows the kind of experience you can get from something that you might think, well, this isn't what I want to do long term. Well, actually I can get those little snippets of that experience.
Exactly.
And seeing a business running, like actually understanding how a coffee shop runs and what needs to happen. And yeah, I love that. I also really want a donut now, and I also need to see photos of these donuts.
No, I need to show you, you'll be really impressed.
Yeah, I love a good donut, and I love that kind of artisan making things beautiful that previously would have just been a sugared donut that you'd get from anywhere, but actually they've gone, we're going to make our business different, we're going to stand out, we're marketing ourselves well because of it. So no, it's really, really good. Oh, I love it. So thinking about that kind of coming back to results, so results, and then what do I do next? Like obviously it feels like you'd gone through, do I go now, do I do the one I wanted, no, I'm going to try somewhere else, and actually no, I'm not ready. Like what was the timeline between them saying yes in clearing and then you going, actually no, I'm going to defer, and how did that feel? Because you must feel like you've got so many thoughts buzzing around your mind trying to work out, what do I do?
Yeah, no, 100%. It was definitely a lot of emotions at once at that time. I got my results and found out I got my place, which I was obviously relieved, because you've got something. And then I think probably the week after, I then thought, actually, I don't know if that's the right thing for me. Like I was trolling through clearing online and found the course, so I just called up, and yeah, they it's quite quick. So you literally call up, say who you are and the grades you've got, and then they'll literally either say like yes, here's an offer, or no. So yeah, they gave me an offer, and then I had thought about doing a gap year because I initially found A-levels quite a stressful time. So I just thought, right, I just need a break out of education because I didn't want to go straight to uni and just feel really burnt out. I wanted to go to uni really excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then I was just lucky that the course that had accepted me said that they'd take me the year later, so...
Love that. And did you, was it tricky trying to get your parents bought into the idea of the gap year, or were they really supportive? Or
no, they're so supportive. Like, I think they just think whatever makes you happy. Like, they'd never pressure me into anything. And like, they could obviously see, like, A-levels are stressful. You work so hard, you know, you just turned 18, you want to party, you want to drive your new car, like, you want to do all that stuff. And then you've got all this academic weight on you. So I think they were just like, you know what, like, you're never going to be this young again. Just go and enjoy it whilst you can, really.
Definitely. And how was it then getting back into uni and studying? Because I always think, like, once you've had a break, you're like, oh, I need to warm the cogs back up again for thinking and studying and getting into a routine.
Yeah, no. It was actually the opposite for me because I came out of A-levels quite exhausted. So I went into uni really like recharged and just like ready to learn, ready to get stuck in. Like, there's lots of like the academic process that I love that isn't just the learning part. So like, I love being organized. I love having a schedule. I like all my color coordination, and I love like deadlines, like being set a task every time. So like, getting back into that, I was like, I love this. I've missed this. Like, in my gap year, weirdly, I was like, I actually miss a bit of academic pressure.
Yeah.
But it was nice. It was on my terms.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing with school, you've got to go through it. Whereas like with uni, it's a lot more kind of your own experience.
Definitely. And tell us that first week or two, freshers, couple of weeks at university, what was that like?
Scary. It is really scary. I mean, I went to a university where I literally knew no one. Not one single person. So I literally just went in blind. So obviously most people in first year live in halls. I was actually so lucky. Even though I'd say the people in my halls, they weren't like my normal type of crowd that I'd gravitate to. They were all lovely, got on with them all really well. They were all just like chatty, open, so like there's no awkwardness or anything like that. And then also, because obviously you're in like a block of flats, directly opposite me was another like lovely group of people. They also went out a lot, so like by being friends with them and going out with them, I met even more people. So it was really scary, but I just threw myself into it, really. And then you just meet people.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you have to do.
Yeah.
And then after you've met everyone, you can kind of decipher, you know, who do I want to keep getting to know, who do I, you know, what type of friends are going to be to you. But yeah, I definitely think if you're a fresher, make a big effort with your flatmates because they're not going to change the whole year. And like, you have to share things like a kitchen and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's good to be on good terms and just get to know everyone.
Yeah. Do you put the rules in around the kitchen? Because that's tricky, isn't it? Some people like a tidy kitchen. Some people do not. They wait till the washing up's like piling and falling out.
Yeah.
Like, how did that work?
I mean, I think it's good to establish the rules early. Like, just make it clear, you know, everybody needs what their expectations are for everybody. But to be fair, like, I was actually really lucky, like, because I, to be fair, it was mostly a girl flat, which might help a little bit. But yeah, like, most people were quite just clean and tidy. I didn't realise how lucky I was until I went to visit my friend in Newcastle, and I went to her flat and I was like, how do you live like this? Like, it was just an absolute dive. So yeah, I actually got quite lucky. But yeah, I think establish the rules early, and like, if you want someone to take out the bins, just maybe make a rota. That's what we did in my houses, so everyone knows their bit and everyone just gets it done. Yeah.
And to be fair, we do that in our office. We've
exactly.
got a rota for certain things of who does what, and it just makes it easier, doesn't it? If people know the expectations, whereas if you're just relying on, well, hopefully people will realise it's not cool to not wash up after they've had their dinner, then people will just do that. But if you know this is what we all do, this is how we do it, then actually you respect that, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember I didn't go to uni, but I had a boyfriend that went to uni, and every time I went and stayed, I was, in the end, I used to turn up ready with some rubber gloves because I knew I was going to have to wash up tons of stuff because they were all boys.
Oh gosh.
And I know we shouldn't gender stereotype, but the problem is it ends up true sometimes.
Yeah.
And honestly, this, yeah, I still feel like I have nightmares about it. So yeah, set the rules early. Feels like a good one. And so Freshers Week, for those that are about to go, what do they need to know? What are the three things or whatever it might be that they should throw themselves into?
I think the main thing is keep reminding yourself everyone's in the same boat. So like, sometimes you feel like a bit of a wally, like, oh, I'm putting myself out there. Like, that's really embarrassing. But it's like, everyone's doing that.
Yeah.
So like, you might think, oh, they're judging me, but actually they're brand new as well. They don't know anyone. So actually, they're probably not there thinking, like, you know, that she's just doing what I want to do as well. So yeah, just everyone's in the same boat. I think just be confident, be brave, just be yourself. Like, just be unapologetically yourself. That's the nice thing about uni that's different from school. Like, some people you see, you will never see them again. So, like, just go for it 100%. And even if you don't find your friends straight away, there'll be so many different opportunities that you will eventually find them. So don't worry if you don't meet them straight away.
I love that. Yeah. You just go be you. And you will find your crowd, won't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's the same when you go to work. Just be yourself. And if you're not working somewhere that lets you be yourself, then you're not working the right place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love this. This has been brilliant. Is there anything else that you wish, exam results, whether it's GCSEs or A-levels, that you wish you knew then that you know now?
I think don't let your exam results define you, because they don't. At the end of the day, like, they're literally, you know, a letter on a piece of paper. You are worth so much more than that, and you have so much value and skills that can't be examined. So don't let the exam results kind of make you feel like that's all you are, because you have so much more to give than that.
So Alice, we met because you were doing work experience at Reflect Digital. How did you go about getting the work experience?
So for Reflect Digital, I actually just emailed, went on the website, found the email, reached out to Amy, you know, explained to her, you know, my situation and what I wanted to do. And we just went from there, and she invited me, and then I just came along, basically.
Amazing. But I think what was interesting is you'd picked Reflect because it really aligned with what you wanted to do. And I think sometimes, and I suppose the tip here for the audience is trying to find that link, isn't it, between showing that you've really got the passion, because I think that's probably why, like, we do get a lot of work experience applications because we do so much to help young people. A lot of people end up knowing about us, but we can't take everyone. But the thing that would have stood out to us is I'm studying business and psychology and I want to get into marketing, and obviously our specialism is using psychology and behavioral science in marketing. So I guess that was really intentional in how you approached us. Am I right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, the ethos kind of behind the company literally aligns perfectly with my degree. Like, when I was doing work experience, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, this just aligned so well. And also, you know, something I'm so interested in, which was really, really good. So yeah, it just all fit really well, and I was really lucky to get a reply and an opportunity.
Oh, well, we were lucky because you were fantastic, and now you've ended up coming on the podcast, which is brilliant. So what would your advice be if someone's sitting there and they've not had any work experience yet and they need to start reaching out to people? What should they do? How should they approach it?
So it's really hard. It is really hard, especially as a uni student. There's so much pressure at the moment as well. Like, getting a job straight out of uni is quite difficult. So there's so much pressure to kind of build up a portfolio and get work experience. My advice is expect lots of rejections, because you will get loads, but don't get your head down. Keep persisting. Keep trying to, like, level up your skills to make you stand out from everybody else. I was just really persistent. Like, I reached out to so many people. So many people said no, but then equally about 3 or 4 have said yes, which has been amazing. So any opportunities you can get are better than nothing. And even if, you know, you're just shadowing, I've done like a bit of shadowing, or just like going along to things, like I've gone along to like content shoots and stuff, just to kind of be involved, be there in person. Anything, you know, will make you stand out. So just be persistent, keep trying, and, you know, somebody will come back to you.
Definitely. And then, so you get your first opportunity. That must be quite scary when you're like, so now I actually have to go and turn up at this business.
Yeah.
And I imagine you must have felt nervous the first time you went into a company.
Absolutely. So nervous. I'd never actually been to an office before, so I didn't really know what to expect. But I definitely found with the Reflect one, like, everyone was really nice. The space is such a nice space. Like, it's kind of like home from home. You just feel so relaxed. So, like, as much as it was kind of an office environment, I didn't feel like too out of place, which was really nice.
Good. You missed meeting Harry though, didn't
you? I know.
Our chief happiness officer, the dog. So what would you say, like, in hindsight now, having been through that, and how to get the most out of the experience? Because I suppose, especially some of our audience might be younger, so they might only be 16, 17 and thinking, oh, this feels even more daunting. Like, I have even less world experience right now. How do you, when you rock up on that first day, because you're going to get the most out of it if you can bring the right attitude and ask the right questions. So what would your advice be?
I think just be confident. I think bear in mind that every opportunity, like every minute that you're there, is a opportunity to learn. So one thing I always do at the end of every day, I make like a list of everything I learned that day, because one, it's great for LinkedIn. You can tell everyone what you've learned, but also for yourself to remind yourself, because I feel like sometimes you get so caught up in the moment, you forget how much you've actually done or how many things you've been a part of or even sat in on. So keep like a record of what you're doing, what you've learned, the things you enjoyed, the things you didn't. And yeah, just be yourself, but also just, I think, just be grateful to be around people that are in the industry you want to go in and try and just learn, like listen to everything they say and just be present in the moment, I think.
That's really good advice, really good advice. And I think, like, I always say to young people when they come into our office, like, be curious and ask questions. There are no silly questions. So obviously it makes it easier if the company say that to you, but actually you probably could go in and say that yourself, like, if they haven't said it, say, I might want to ask some silly questions, is that okay, because I've not been here before and I really want to get the most and to really learn. And actually if you say that, suddenly you're like, okay, now I don't feel silly asking a silly question, they know I'm going to do it. And it probably isn't silly. It's, especially in our world, we're full of acronyms. We start talking about SEO and PPC and you have to stop yourself and go, I need to tell you what that means, because otherwise you're sitting there going, they just keep saying letters at me and I don't know what they are. So yeah, how have you found it being able to ask those questions and really be curious about what's going on?
I mean, personally, I found it fine. Like, I'm quite a big personality. Like, I'm normally quite brave in that kind of sense. Like, I'll just ask, I don't really mind. But I think if somebody was more nervous to ask, I think don't be, because if they've invited someone for work experience, they expect that. They don't expect you to, you know, come in and know everything that they're talking about, because obviously that's why you're there. So yeah, I think just go for it. Like you said, there isn't a silly question. And yeah, if you actually ask, you'll probably understand way more of the conversation if you actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah, you don't want to be going home that night to Google or ChatGPT going, what does this mean? Like, ask it in the moment.
Exactly.
Get the answer. Because also that context will then allow you to ask even better questions because you understand more. So, oh, I love it. That was just brilliant advice. And I just think more young people need to be pushing to get work experience, because it helps you work out what you want to do and it gives you things to talk about. So yeah, I hope that some of our audience can listen to what you've said and start getting those applications out and not worry about the rejections. Just keep going till you get the ones you want.
Absolutely. Thank you.